If one would pose the question, which part of the Torah would best describe the core of the Jewish faith, most people would undoubtedly reply with a phrase from this week's Torah portion of Eschanon. And this phrase is the verse, Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, God is our Lord, God is one. This phrase, which has been uttered by numerous Jewish martyrs before their death throughout the ages, seems to contain a very simple message, that one is not allowed to believe in idolatry, that there is only one God and there are not many gods. Jewish thought, however, describes the idea of the oneness of God in much different terms, that the idea of one, when we are referring to God, is not used in the sense of one and not two. Maimonides, for example, says that when we use the word one in such a only the text, we cannot compare this idea of one to anything found in the physical world whatsoever. The concept described here is not only that there is one God, but that God is complete oneness, and there is no existence whatsoever aside from His. However, how can we say such a thing that there is no other existence? We open our eyes and see the world around us and see all different sorts of existences, which are not God Himself. The solution to this apparent paradox is a prime area of discussion in various works of Jewish philosophy and mysticism, and it is answered in many different ways on many different levels. One of the explanations brought in Hasidic philosophy is based on the concept of the creation ex nihilo, that God created the universe from nothing to something. And as we say in our daily prayers, quoting the book of Psalms, that this creation is a constant process, that it is not something which happened one time, but rather every moment the creation is being reformed. It is once more created from nothing to something, constantly. We could perhaps compare the creation to a ball being thrown up in the air, that as a result of the person's force throwing the ball, it is overcoming the laws of gravity. As long as the power is still pushing the ball, it will continue to fly. But once the power stops, it will fall back to the ground. So too the creation, as long as God is continuously creating it, it will continue to exist. But should he stop for even one moment, it would cease to exist. The Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, expressed the same concept when he described the soul which is in within every form of existence in the world. Not only people and animals have souls, but even the rock has a type of soul, said the Arizal. What is this soul, quote-unquote? He explained that it is the spark of godliness which keeps this rock in existence and keeps it from reverting to nothingness. And so, too, every aspect of the created universe has within it this spark of godliness which keeps it from reverting to nothingness. Every physical object, then, is not only the physical. It has within it a spiritual dimension, the godliness which keeps it in existence. Furthermore, it is not only that there is a physical object, and somewhere buried within and covered over is a spark of godliness. Chassidus explains that that godliness is the primary existence of the object, that would we have the ability to perceive this godliness within the physical world, we would be unable to see the physical world, that the revelation would be so tremendous of godliness that the physical world would have no existence in comparison to it, and it would not be perceived. It would be as if we took a candle and put it next to the sun. The candle exists, but it could not be seen in face of the tremendous brightness of the sun. And so to the physical world, should we be able to see the spiritual component in it, the spiritual component, the revelation of godliness, would be compared to the sun, and the physical component would be only like a candle, and would pale in significance. This, then, is one level of explaining the idea of the oneness of God, Hashem Echad. It is not just that there is one God, and not two, but there is nothing aside from God. His oneness permeates the universe. Aye, how could this be? We see that there are independent physical existences, but the physical existence we see and the physical objects in the universe, they are also, in essence, part of God, since their entire existence is dependent and their entire existence is overshadowed by the godliness within, that they are also part of God. and the fact that we see them as a separate existence does not contradict his oneness.